Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. So I did this episode pre-COVID. Always interesting to look at things that were made pre-COVID, whether it's movies. Movies are interesting, right? Because people are touching people and hugging, and you're like, well, that isn't a thing anymore. It's interesting with scripts as well, or with written content or audio content, because, you know, the world has evolved so rapidly that some things might resonate less with audiences. And then some things I think are really will stand the test of time. And today's episode is something that I really, as I was like looking through this old script, kind of I'm digging up some old content. I've got some projects going on with it, some creative projects. And so I was checking this one out, and I was like, oh man, this is an episode I really want to air currently. So the name of this episode is Courage, Flexibility, and Potential, and their associated nuances. Because I think when you're listening to the self-help / make people better industry, and definitely with the motivational industry, it's super easy to miss nuance in someone's message. We hear something, some kind of narrative, and then we tend to look over the subtle details. Sometimes even subtle details that actually change the point. This actually happens for a couple of reasons. One, we're always looking out into the world to confirm our own beliefs. It's sort of a byproduct of the insecurities that come attached to the human condition. When other people think what we think, it gives us a sense of safety and belonging. And since our mind isn't always an accurate lens to view reality through, we tend to look for things around us that confirm our own opinions and give us that sense of safety that we're looking for. One of the ways we do that is by hearing what we want to hear. Another way of saying, instead of doing intellectual work that would stretch your worldview, you choose to hear the part of the message that confirmed your own. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this happens most of the time or even that it happens often. I'm just saying it's definitely a tripwire worth looking out for on your own journey toward truth or growth or whatever it is that you're after in this life, right? Because if you don't have that, you're not working from a stable foundation. The second reason we miss someone's message is simply because our own baggage just happens to be a little too much sometimes, and it's in our way. We repress all kinds of things as we move through our lives. We read situations wrong and when we're young, or we get exposed to too much life too fast. We never learn how to process it all. All kinds of things affect us for all kinds of reasons that we don't always understand, but have learned to overlook. I see this all the time with my own content. People will say, like sometimes they'll even quote me and I'll be like, well, I didn't say that. That's just what you heard. But that's okay, right? Sometimes we need to pull out of a message what's actually relevant to us. But we just want to make sure that we're being honest with ourselves. And that's kind of why I'm like pushing this idea of that nuance really does matter. The point is, I know it can be easy to hear the various messages in this industry and think that the core theme is always something along the lines of telling you that you just need to go out there and fulfill your potential, or telling you that you need to wake up and kick ass and love yourself while you're doing it. And it gets a bit over motivating after a while, to the point where what once may have motivated or moved you into action now has just fallen into the background noise of your life. Even trying your hardest to be your best can turn into a lifeless routine if you let it. In a way, our lives have to fall into routines. The human psyche falls apart pretty quickly without routine. And, you know, since I wrote this, a lot of us felt that. A lot of us felt that uneasy feeling of starting to spiral when the things that we rely on every day to order ourselves in the world and position ourselves in the world are taken from us. But you know, every great thing in this life has an evil twin, a devil to its god or a shadow to its light. And so the shadow of habits, though we need them to accomplish remarkable things in this life, can pretty quickly become something that zaps our soul, especially if we're not in the habit of elevating the mundane. If you overlook things and don't appreciate the small parts of your life, like that first sip of coffee in the morning, or the way your partner laughs, dumb things that you also find funny, or showing gratitude for the ability to have a movement practice, you know, if you don't prioritize appreciating those kinds of things and you're always waiting for the awe-inspiring to appreciate it, then your daily habits or routines will grind down your resolve after a while. It takes time to tune into them, but it's usually the smallest things, or dare I say, the little things that actually make your life worth living once you learn to appreciate them. And I know that sometimes that very obvious rhetoric can come off as a bit insulting, because it's not like we don't all know these basic things, right? Like, we know we need to be in the moment. We know we should appreciate things more and live every day like it's our last. Got it. I know you get up and do your best. And some days your intentions are enough and things go right. And some days life just gets tough and you're just trying to get through the day. Sometimes it gets tough with trauma, and it just as easily gets tough with monotony. And so today, in light of all that, I wanted to take this opportunity and, as best as I can, clarify some of the nuances in my own message that seem to fall into alignment with much of the industry. The first major theme that you might hear in my message and tend to overlook are the basic lines about encouragement. But to the degree that I cheerlead and don't actually instill courage is to the degree that my message definitely falls short of its aim. Courage is the first easy one because it basically sits in the personal development hall of fame, as everyone from Tony Robbins to the Wizard of Oz has been seen preaching the importance of courage. But as I begin to craft the things I wanted to talk about, I realized that it's often mentioned topic for good reason. Based on the world I've seen, aspiring to a courageous life is non-negotiable. It's the antidote to the main barrier that will hold you back from getting these things that you want in your life, namely fear. And it's not like we don't all know that, yet somewhere in our DNA there seems to be this code that tells us to wait it out. Like, if we wait, one day we'll wake up unafraid and ready to pursue that thing that's been in our hearts for years. But that's actually not true at all. Fear tends to get bigger, actually. It's like your inbox. You have to face it, and every day that you don't, it's just going to grow. It's never going to get easier. So technically speaking, it's a requirement if you want greater freedom in your life and not more restriction. But another line of code that seems to be baked into our DNA is the idea that courage is based on what you've done and not what you're doing right now. And I believe that's a thought that we often have, and like many of our repeating thoughts, if we start prying into them, we see they're ironically not what we thought. And so what I mean by our courage not being based on what we've done is that we often tell ourselves a story about how we've been in the past, and then we use that to play small now. This is my go-to if I really want to sabotage myself or keep myself small. We feel stuck because we're capable. But courage doesn't keep track of anything from moment to moment. It's not based on who you were in the past whatsoever. It's something we set as a virtue or a North Star. It's what we aspire to. We aspire to it in all of our interactions. And when we fall short, we just adjust our aim for next time. And we do that as many times as it takes. And we keep showing up and putting in the work to truly aspire to a courageous existence. Because in a world like ours, courage gives you what you need to make it enjoyable. When you lose the wind in your sails, you don't abandon the ship, you just adjust your sails. And over time, you learn not to make a big thing about it. Because no matter what happened last, we're always being thrust into something new. There's always another chance to show up better. And that's not less true just because you've fallen short in the past. If you drop your story about who you are, you can give yourself a blank canvas from which to begin again. To show up in this moment as a new you, with as much courage as you can muster. You give yourself the chance to make yourself proud, and as you do that, you find that you get into the momentum of it, and over time, it does become easier. Because you know what happens is, this is not in the script, but things that we avoid get bigger in relation to ourselves, and so we get smaller, the ego gets smaller, and the thing we avoid, the thing we're scared of, it gets bigger. And so we have to embrace courage as a daily practice. Otherwise, these things will grow into an unmanageable situation. So while, again, I do recognize that there's nothing groundbreaking about courage, it becomes insightful once you begin to take ownership over what's worth being courageous for. We've all been taught things that don't feel true for us. We were all given narratives and storylines from our family that aren't ours to carry. And we all feel the pressure to live up to who our caretakers wanted us to be. And so it is with courage that we slowly start to put those things down that were never ours to carry. And so the courageous act is actually learning to put those things down and to learn to live according to your own constitution. Not because everything will work out if you do, but because that seems to be the way in which we flourish the most. Every disruptive business idea came from people that didn't accept what they were given, but saw a new way. And often, having courage disrupts our own lives in that same way. But if we start to prioritize our own internal guidance system, over time that disruption will begin to stable out, and what you'll find is a lot more meaning and fulfillment in your life. And so, next to courage, I do believe that learning to increase our psychological flexibility is the second staple in my message. The simplified message would sound something like me just telling you to have an open mind, that new possibilities won't exist if you're closed off to see them. But a high level of psychological flexibility is actually just having the ability to pivot through life with grace. See, the nuance in this message becomes apparent when you have an honest conversation with yourself about what being able to pivot through life with grace would actually require of you. The first thing it requires is that you work through any kind of lingering cynicism or anger toward life. If you've already decided that things are wrong, whether you feel that stance is justified or not, then you're going to find it's hard to stay positive when life is throwing unexpected events at you and by your own volition tune into what's wrong about every situation. You can see how cynicism sort of paints you into a corner in that way. It's like cutting off the tree branch that you're actually sitting on. It's also going to require that you learn to let go. When you allow your intentions to become expectations, you begin to believe that you know best and that life should unfold based on your desires. Obviously, life is going to unfold however it was going to, with or without your opinions. And so really, you can choose to cling to your idea of how life should be, or you can stay open to what life is actually presenting you with. One of the central themes that's worked its way into my message is not that you should be open-minded for the sake of it. There's a really good saying about don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. It's actually because many of the unexpected things in life that cause us so much pain actually turn out to be the best for us. That's certainly been true in my life when I've been through breakups that were particularly rough, or when I passed up for a job, or when I was passed up for a job that I wanted. And so it's this idea that realizing that you and your human finiteness do not have the ability to project every single possible outcome of every single possible situation. And because you don't have that ability, you actually, from a very technical standpoint, do not know what's best. And so, of course, we cling to what feels good and we reject what doesn't. But if we don't learn to let go of our own opinions of ourselves and our lives, then we cannot pivot, right? You cannot pivot if you do not let go of the past. And so, because I've observed that we're so unaware of what is good for us over any length of time, and because there are so many variables that could unfold, being able to pivot in life is part of my message, because without it, over time, the various, you know, storms that we find ourselves going through quite honestly feel like they're victimizing us, and it can begin to feel like life is against you, which actually isn't true at all. To me, it's more important that we position ourselves in a way that allows us to tap into the fluidity of life. When we learn to flow as life flows, we find that our lives take on a certain ease. And I should mention that staying in that place of flow actually takes quite a bit of work. It's not easy just because it creates ease. In order to do it fully, you really have to let your ideas and beliefs die from time to time. You'll find that many of your beliefs are rigid, and over time, as you learn more about the world, if you don't update your model of it, you'll find the antithesis of flow, actually, on just a lot of unnecessary friction. This is something in the 21 Maxims episodes that we'll be going over next month, we'll be talking about quite a bit. The third part of my message is the one about potential. You've probably heard me say that before, but potential is endless as far as we know. And this is because potential is an extension of capability. And so as you become more capable in life, you find yourself dealing with a larger pool of potentialities for what you could do with your life. So part of my message around potential is not just that I think we should do our best to engage with the world in a way that helps us live up to our own, but actually almost all of us feel the intrinsic urge to do so anyway. And I know that because we almost all have a version of ourselves that we fall short of. And that version, that ideal, is your realized potential. Because you didn't live up to it, you have something to judge yourself off of. Our greatest potential is the judge that we use to beat ourselves up when we're not living in alignment with what we want or when we make decisions that we're not proud of. And I use that internal knowing as a bit of proof about our compulsion to live up to our potential in life. But the nuance in my message is that if that's what we truly want, we have to learn to go about it in new ways. The popular narrative about hustle that's often propagated in the world today is that it's king when it comes to achieving things. My nuanced message is that ambition is a good engine, but it's a crappy driver. If you let it direct your actions, you'll find yourself going after things that don't feel authentic. And over time, you'll keep going after more and more as you enter the hedonic treadmill, always watching your level of satisfaction sink back to where it was. And I actually believe that a lot of the message we see about hustle and potential today is quite nuanced. We just rarely happen to take the time to read the nuance. In my newest book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, revised edition coming out soon, shameless plug, there's an chapter in there called Sage Advice for the Driven. And it's all about what happens when we allow our ambition to be in the driver's seat instead of the passenger seat. But the point here is that we have to be willing to question our own beliefs and what our mind is telling us. We have to be willing to think deeper when needed, and just as easily switch to being able to intuit what is right for us. This is why the good on paper answers almost always leaves us wanting more in life. We have to know when to push. The nuance in that message is that we have to know just as easily when to pause and reflect and to take it all in before having any kind of judgment. But look, the thing that makes the written and spoken word so powerful, in my opinion, isn't that we can just talk about, organize, and make sense of life. It's actually the recognition of yourself in the space between these words. I do believe that we see what we're ready for, and as we're ready for more of anything, whether that's truth, growth, or whatever, if we begin to tune into it, we'll begin to find it. It might not be on our timeline, and that's a result of expectations, but this life is happening for you, and so for the most part, you are going to create the reality you believe in and think you deserve. Through a commitment to being courageous enough to follow our own path, and through being open enough to pivot around the obstacles that we find once we do, we'll find the opportunities that are presented by our potential. We'll be right back.